Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it.
We are excited today to have our latest guest on the podcast, Wendy Gibbs. Wendy, you were the 2012 Mitchell Scholar from Mount View High School, and we're thrilled to hear more about what you've been up to since then. So welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. And usually we like to just start at the beginning. So having a better understanding of where in Maine did you grow up and what was that experience like? And especially as you got towards the high school experience and began to learn about the Mitchell Institute scholarship.
Yeah, so I grew up in Brooks, Maine. Many people don't know where that is, so I usually say Belfast area. But another landmark would be the Common Ground Ferry Unity. It's actually only maybe 5 minutes from where that's held. So that's the area I grew up in. I actually grew up on a dairy farm. So we always had plenty of cows and calves running around. And yeah, it was just a very rural area, lots of fields and cows and chickens and very tight community. Everyone knew everyone. And yeah, in high school, my class was around 110 students. So we weren't like a very big school. But with that being said, all my family members had gone there. My parents had gone there. My brother had gone there. My cousins had gone there. So it's like a family tradition to go to Mount View. When it comes to the Mitchell Institute, I believe I was racking my brain actually when I first heard of it. And I think what happened was I was just searching for scholarships at the time. I was a first generation college student and growing up on a dairy farm. My parents didn't have the additional income to afford college. Actually, my father said to me, like, Wendy, you've been doing great in school and you have such high expectations for yourself, but you probably won't go to college because we can't afford this for you. So I kind of took that, I guess, a little bit as motivation. And I applied for all different scholarships, all different grants. And when I had enough funding, my dad was like, okay, well, we'll, you know, have you go for 1 year and see how it goes. And it's funny. So I kept going. I worked on in the summertime, I worked in the dining halls and I went to UMaine. And at the end of it, I had no student debt. So all I can say is I'm very blessed in that way because I had no idea if I would have even gone to college. So I owe a lot to the Mitchell Institute.
That's amazing. What was your decision around going to UMaine? What factored into that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a surgeon. And the reason was, is many people in my family had heart problems. So specifically, I remember I wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. And then I took science classes and said, no, I don't like science. I am not going to be a surgeon. And it was funny. My mom at the time was like, well, if you're not going to be a surgeon, you could be a lawyer. So when I was applying for colleges, I was actually looking at some pre-law programs. So I almost went to Champlain College in Vermont, actually. I got accepted there. It's beautiful. But when it came down to it, I actually decided to go to UMaine and figured if I could at least keep the student debt down and go in-state, that would be perfect. So that was really the decision why I chose UMaine. It was also close to home, only about an hour from my family. So, you know, a quick ride to go visit them. So, those would probably be the different reasons why I chose UMaine.
And I know now you are working as a VP, a senior commercial portfolio manager for Bangor Savings Bank. Did I get that right?
Yes.
And
not a lawyer.
Not a lawyer. So I was curious, you know, what was the journey from deciding, you know, you were going to UMaine potentially pre-law and kind of the path you've taken? It seems like at Bangor Savings, you've had quite a career. You've had many, many roles and have really grown there. So we'd love to hear about that.
So it was interesting. It would have been the summer before this, my senior year at UMaine. I wanted to find a more professional job to have on my resume and make some money during the summertime. In the past, I had been a babysitter and I wanted something a little different. So I went to the UMaine Career Fair. And while I was there, I dropped off my resumes with some different businesses. And one of those was Bangor Savings. And they had what is referred to as a summertime teller position open. So in the summertime, the branches get a lot more busy when you have the out-of-staters and other individuals visiting the area. You also have a lot of employees who want to take some time off and enjoy the summertime. So that's really where the summertime teller fits in. So that summer, I was a teller. And I was in the Belfast area and I just loved it. I loved working with the customers. I loved getting to know the different community members and business leaders. And yeah, I just enjoyed it a ton. And I remember that there was an open position at the time for a full-time teller. And I remember the branch manager and assistant branch manager came to me and asked, would you like this position? Like, we enjoy working with you. Would you be interested? And at first I said, no, like I'm still finishing my senior year of college. I already have my schedule in place. I didn't really plan out for traveling between Belfast and UMaine. And I remember having that conversation and a couple weeks later going back into their office and saying, hey, is that position still open? Because I just enjoyed it so much. So when I got closer to graduating, I had decided I wanted to be a banker. I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew I was graduating. So I went to my branch manager at the time and said, hey, like, I obviously enjoy banking and like to pursue a career. Not sure what that looks like. Do you have any recommendations? And it just so happened at the time that the bank had a management trainee program, and it was a very competitive program and a full 2-year program. And what it really was the first year of the program, you'd get to visit over 20 different departments at the bank and really get to understand banking and what that entailed. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, that'd be perfect for me. Cause it's like, I want to be in banking, but I had no idea what that looks like. So I applied and I got into the program. And yeah, the first year I shadowed all the different departments at the bank and traveled to Portland, traveled to New Hampshire. And through that, I really discovered I enjoyed the commercial side. So after the program, that's when I really joined the commercial team. I learned about underwriting deals. So that was my first position. And so loan officers would go out and they'd get all the financial information and submit that to the underwriters. And I would take the financials, crunch the numbers, look at cash flow, look at the guarantor support, look at collateral, and recommend approval or decline based upon what I saw. So I was an underwriter for 3 years and worked up to a senior. And yeah, at that point, a position on the sales side opened up. So that's where I'm at now. So yes, I'm a commercial portfolio manager and I assist or work with 2 loan officers in the Bangor area. So the main goal of being a loan officer is they want to be out in the community as much as possible, networking, meeting with a customer. So they don't always have time to do some of the office work. So I'm working with the attorneys, I'm working with the accountants, I'm answering underwriting questions, keeping the ship afloat and moving while they're out of the office. If they're on maternity leave or on sick leave, that's when usually I'll have to step up as a loan officer and assist the customers. So it's a lot of different things, to be honest, but I love it because I'm able to actually go out and about in the community and actually visit with the business owners. That's something I wasn't able to do as an underwriter. I just stayed at my desk and typed away and I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but now it's nice because I can travel the state of Maine and Go places like Jackman for a day visiting customers. Just go all over the state of Maine. So yeah, I've been very blessed career-wise.
This is probably hard to think back on now, but as you are in the role you're in and you're really happy, is there anything from maybe growing up or being in school that you feel like, oh, this is showing up for me now in the type of job that I have?
Yeah, so it's really funny. I was thinking about this and I actually did really enjoy math in school. And it was funny when I was at UMaine, I received two bachelors. I received one in political science, which was at first I wanted to be a lawyer. So that's why I had that. But I also had business management, and taking part in business management, I had some accounting classes and I really enjoyed accounting. And being an underwriter, that's kind of what you're doing, is you're going through the numbers and analyzing what you see. So as a portfolio manager, I still get to do a little of that. Like, we usually vet deals before we send it to our underwriting group, because we don't want to waste their time. And it's also time and money to the bank as well. So we try to be as efficient as possible. So before anything's even submitted, we try to vet it as well as possible. So I still get to play with the numbers.
That's great. It's just so funny, I think, how those things show up later that you just don't expect. Like, I really did enjoy this, and now I'm actually doing it for my profession. I know that you have also stayed very much in touch with the Mitchell Institute over these years, through college and beyond. And there are a couple of things in particular that I know you're working on, one of which is the Alumni Council. And I actually just saw you very recently at Mile 2, which the Alumni Council is responsible for working with the staff to put on. And I also wanted to mention that I read just recently, actually this morning, about you joining what is now called the Trequin Alumni Giving Society, which is in honor of a late Mitchell Scholar, friend of ours. And the idea behind this is Mitchell Scholars that have paid back the original amount of their scholarship in towards the organization are joining this. And I read that you have just done that and joined yourself. So I wondered if you could talk through, your work with the Alumni Council, your connection to the organization since then, and just so appreciative of what you've done there with that recent gift as well.
Yeah, so I would say that having not known if I would be able to go to college or not, and having been a Mitchell Scholar, I feel like I owe a lot to the Institute, and I think that really pushes me to give back, especially to the Institute. So I am on the Alumni Council. So I've been on the council now for over a year, and it's really a group of us that really just keep trying to push Senator George Mitchell's mission of helping students in Maine pursue college. And there's different groups. There's groups that help with hosting the Mile 2, which is the event you mentioned. There's groups helping having more impact with the Mitchell alumni, their student engagement. And so there's a lot of different ways that, we try to help with Senator Mitchell's mission on the alumni side. I did make a large donation recently to the Mitchell Institute. And once again, it really goes back to, I understand that fear that a student can be feeling graduating high school soon and not knowing what the future holds and if they're going to be able to afford college and be able to attend. So I had always made it my goal to give back to the Institute in that way. And I've just been very blessed career-wise, as I mentioned, and it had just felt like the right time to do that.
It's just remarkable how much, our alumni group is growing and how people are finding ways to do that, whether that's financial or through mentorship and volunteerism. It's just a really strong group of people, and it's really fun to be telling your story and other stories to hear how people are staying connected. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm happy to still be involved, because the Mitchell Institute to me is more like a family. So yeah, you can't abandon your family. So
They're stuck with us.
Yes. Yep.
Through all of what you've shared with us, I'm sure you have a lot of advice to give to current Mitchell scholars and even other alumni. So are there a couple of things that you would love to share?
Definitely. So I would first start off. So back when I was at UMaine, one of my most favorite teachers, he taught a leadership class in the business department. And he always told us to find an organization who had values that matched our own. And if we could find an organization who had those same values, that we would be happier and be more comfortable working for that organization. And so that always really stayed with me. And it was funny when I joined Bangor Savings, because I realized one day, oh, like the bank does share values with me, and how much he was right. So I'm just so happy to work for the bank and to work for a place that is very focused on community. So I have time to do some community service in and around the Bangor area. And also just so great to us employees as well. So anyways, if there's one big thing I could say is definitely find an organization that shares your values. Also, I would say this comes from someone at the bank, actually. When I was in the management trainee program, I was very uncomfortable at times. And that was joining the workforce, new environment. I had been used to being in the education side for years. And this was my first real job, I would like to say. So my manager at the time, she was absolutely amazing. And she said that a goal for us would be being comfortable being uncomfortable. So, which is easier said than done sometimes. And that was definitely something that she encouraged us to do. And I definitely think that I have been able to do that. I still struggle with that to this day. But that would definitely be a big word of advice that I'd encourage for all scholars, that you don't have to be always comfortable in every situation.
That's wonderful advice. I think the discomfort is really important, and it's hard when you're in it. But often I find that those are the best stories that you have to tell later about your journey. So it's those moments, right, that create the storytelling that will ultimately, you know, play out for the rest of your career.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
Well, it's been just wonderful to hear about your journey. I'm, you know, so grateful. I know I speak for everybody on behalf of what you've been doing to give back to the organization. You know, everything that's happening through the Alumni Council just really helps set up this next generation of alumni and the current scholars to be successful. So it's very much appreciated. And we always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. So I'm hoping that you'll be willing to participate in this. It's very simple. So we have, I'll have a few words to share with you. And I just would love for you to tell me, what is the first thing that comes to mind when I say that word?
Okay.
Learning.
I would say University of Maine is the first thing. Also, I got my master's at Husson as well. So yeah. Very important to me.
Community.
For me, I actually first think of junior achievement, and that's just something that I volunteer for. And it just really encourages entrepreneurship skills for youth. So I actually just finished volunteering for a fourth grade class in the Belfast area. And it was just phenomenal. So if anyone's ever considered volunteering for junior achievement, I definitely encourage that.
I remember you mentioning that when I saw you last, and an incredible organization as well. So that's great. And the last is mentorship.
Very important. I would say that's extremely important. I had an amazing mentor here at the bank when I was in the management trainee program. And unfortunately, a year after I graduated from the program, she actually passed away from stage 4 cancer. But with that being said, she had such an impact on me and who I am at the bank. And every time something happens or anything exciting, it's been great because I'll have individuals reach out to me who remember Terry and let me know Terry would be so proud of you. And it's been extremely meaningful for me. And I would also encourage anyone to find a mentor. It doesn't have to be for a long period of time. And I know that some different individuals here at Bangor Savings believe that mentors are only supposed to be a small period of time for whatever the set topic is. So you might have many mentors over your life. And they just create such beautiful relationships. So very important.
I'm sure you've done the same for many people as well in giving back as a mentor. So I'm sure people could tell that same story about you.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Wendy, so much. We are grateful for your time. It sounds like you're open to others reaching out to you and connecting with you as well, given the support that you give through the Alumni Council and other activities. So if that's okay, we'll certainly encourage people to do that. But just so happy to hear more about your background and all of your success.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone can find me on LinkedIn. That's the best way to reach out to me. So anytime.
Great. Thank you so much, Wendy.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.